Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gators and grannies, to another edition of the Big Puzzle. I'm Barry Prince. I'm going to be here with you for a couple hours talking about stuff that drives me crazy and sometimes stuff that really makes me smile. We're going to go full spectrum tonight. First hour, I've been honored to be joined by Vinny Eastwood again. Vinny, quite a conversationalist and quite a opinionated guy on lots of different things that are going on in our world, and I've had him in once before and enjoyed the conversation with him immensely. Second hour, I've got Larry Woods coming in, and I urge you guys to listen to what Larry's going to tell you tonight about the developments they've got going on in free energy, something that really fascinates me and inspires me. Anyways, all that being said, Vinny, thanks for coming in today. I know you're on a marathon today. You're doing, what, 4 hours of radio today, so thanks for joining me, buddy, and what's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Well, goodness knows how many hours it will take to edit and publish all of these shows as well that I'm recording. Now, I just want to introduce myself to the audience as well, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And I have a website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, completely listener-supported. Been a talk radio show host on AmericanFreedomRadio.com for now about 6 years. First New Zealander in history to have an American-based talk radio show. I have the most subscribed YouTube channel in New Zealand that produces news, even more than the New Zealand Herald, which is the largest mainstream equivalent to me that has been around for about 180 years, and I beat them within my 3rd year doing YouTube, and that's why they gave me the gig. Well, partially. I've also created the largest online archive of interviews with activists, lawyers, doctors, and journalists, and pretty much everybody who's saying things that are outside of the mainstream. Thousands upon thousands of different interviews, protests, and activists, and things like that. The largest archive that has ever been compiled in New Zealand. And essentially, I only have one role, and that's to have fun.
There you go. Well, I'm not very good at introducing people, Vinny, and I couldn't have done that if you'd asked me. So all that being said, I know you're quite active, and I know you have a large group of people following you because you've got a lot of good things to say. I've listened to quite a few of your shows on archives, and you've had some incredible guests. I hear now that New Zealand is going to be forced mandating fluoride in all their water. So I was just reading an article about that. Are you up on that one?
Yep. In fact, I was the only member of any media in New Zealand to indeed cover this issue by interviewing Dr. Paul Connett from the Fluoride Action Network and put that interview up online there. So if anybody does want to find out a little bit more information, you can look at my interview with Dr. Paul Connett there. And also you can look at me breaking down Minister Peter Dunn's fluoride speech that he did in the House, and I broke it down. And just there is nothing more fun than abusing a psychopathic lying scumbag. Like, seriously, it's actually, I can't stress this enough. If you haven't done it, ladies and gentlemen, just give it a go. Now, what's the worst that could happen? Now, I think the fluoride issue is quite good. So just to give people a bit of a background and actual context to this. So Mary Burns, the head of the FANS, the Fluoride Action Network New Zealand, and been good friends with her. She still donates to me regularly, which is good. You know, it's good to have activists and other people in the community that are actually supporting me regularly so I can continue, you know, working for them and the community, and that's kind of what I do. So what happened a couple of years back is FANS were getting really, really successful. They managed to get fluoride out of the water in a New Zealand city called New Plymouth, and they also managed to get the fluoride out of the water in Hamilton as well. So it was two very major cities that they managed to convince the local councils, who currently have the responsibility for the fluoridation, to choose to do it or not to do it. In the case of Hamilton, they managed to convince them 9-1. All right. And the reason why there were only 10 people there is because the district health boards had about 6 representatives on the council, and they all had to recuse themselves because of a conflict of interest. And now what the government is going to do is it's saying now, instead of giving the responsibility to the council, which is democratically accountable, democratically elected, and has public meetings and things like that, they're now going to give that responsibility to the district health boards, which are controlled by central government, i.e. forced mandatory fluoridation frickin' nationwide by stealth. Nobody knows about it, you know? And the ones who know are really upset about it, because what was interesting is it seems to be that the fluoride movement here is a victim of their own success. Okay, so they get it out of 2 major cities, and then all of a sudden the DHBs start a $50,000 campaign with these beautiful... what are they called, TV ads and things like that, massive billboards all over the place, pamphlets delivered to every single letterbox in the region saying, oh, the fluoridationists are crazy conspiracy theorists, they're not using the science, and so on and so forth. And then Hamilton decided to put it back in the water, you know, surprisingly. So that's the thing. They realize that because we can convince people to get fluoride out of their water, they want to take that ability for us to convince anybody out of our hands.
You know, the province of Ontario in Canada here is trying to do the exact same thing as New Zealand's trying to do right now, Vinny. And, to me, it boggles my mind, because really all you have to do is spend 2 or 3 hours on the internet and study what sodium fluoride is, what the actual chemical composition of sodium fluoride is, and the effects it has on the human body. You know what I urge people, one of the things when I talk about fluoride, Vinny, is I urge people to go to one documentary that I watch, and it's a chronological history of fluoride. And it really breaks down to you when fluoride was brought into our society, the group of dentists that were involved, how those dentists were tied to the chemical industries that were paying to dispose of it. And really, if you study this little link and that little bit of history on fluoride, you'll understand why it's in our society. It's absolute insanity that, you know, we're still putting this poison in our water, and people are being are going along with it, Vinny. I mean, this is just craziness. That's just one aspect. Just one aspect of what governments are doing to us. But really, people just have to spend a couple hours on the internet, and after you study what sodium fluoride is, you won't want to put it in your body. I avoid this stuff like the flu.
Well, but yeah, that's because it's a hazardous toxic waste. So those of you who don't know, a poison's actually too soft. Like, poison only affects organic molecules. This stuff is so acidic it'll eat through glass, it'll eat through concrete. Yeah. All right, and they put it into our water pipes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's almost in the same classification as mercury, guys. I mean, it's one of the most toxic things that we can put into our bodies.
Well,
and we're drinking it.
It is
it's insane.
It's the most carcinogenic substance known to man. All right. So if you wanted to cause cancer in somebody and cause it faster than any other compound, give them fluoride. Okay. Now, where does it come from? Okay. So in the New Zealand case, we import our fluoride from China. Now, China has very lax environmental regulations, but even they know that you're not allowed and you shouldn't put fluorine gas into the atmosphere, because in the early 1900s, they figured out that if you allow that kind of stuff into the atmosphere, people who are downwind are going to choke and frickin' die. So they have these things called wet scrubbers in the chimneys. So that sprays a film of water over the opening of the chimney and sends it down a little chute that ends up in a giant slurry pit. Okay, so you've got this huge pits that you can see from space that are full of level 6 biotoxin. Okay, now biotoxins are classified level 1 to level 6. 1 meaning you can drink it, you can bathe in it, it's water. And 6 meaning if you have 1 inhalation of the vapors, you will die within maybe 60 seconds. So what they do then is they go, how do we get rid of this stuff? Okay, well, let's try and dispose of it properly. All right, well, you're going to have to build these enormous pits that are lined with stuff that the fluoride ain't going to eat through, and you're also going to have to cover that up, and you're also going to have to store it and pay for it to be stored till the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's not do that, because that's too expensive. That sounds too responsible. You know what we should do instead, bro? Let's just dump it into the water supply. But how can you do that? Isn't it illegal to dump toxic waste into the water supply? Well, absolutely it's illegal. But there's a vagary within commercial law, whereas if you've got toxic waste and you sell it to somebody, it's no longer classified legally as toxic waste, it's classified as a product because somebody purchased it and therefore has some kind of perceived benefit, and therefore it's legal to dump toxic waste into the water supply. All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you've got. That's the general mode of logic behind putting this in. So, oh, but doesn't it help your teeth? Doesn't it help your teeth? No. Okay, first of all, you need calcium fluoride in order for the fluoride ions to even attach to your teeth. And this is not calcium fluoride. Calcium fluoride is done by water flowing over limestone and then eventually being collected in the water supply, which is why some people in South America have very good teeth. Now, sodium fluoride, on the other hand, as I've mentioned before, is toxic waste and a carcinogen, which actually mottles the teeth itself and produces a white, crusty, milky, chalky sort of substance on them, and can also whittle them all the way down to nothing. It's called dental fluorosis, which they teach dentists about. Now, in terms of dental decay and the reduction of such, when you look at the statistics that are released by the World Health Organization that chronicle every single country that is fluoridated, which is like half a dozen countries, and there's 197 countries that don't, including 97% of Europe, who do not fluoridate because they did this thing called science that told them that it's not a good fucking idea. Oh, my God. They fluoridate their table salt and things like that instead in order to get the toxic waste into the food supply that way. So, you know, but at least it's not in their water.
Sneak it in.
Yeah, at least it's not in their water.
Yeah.
All right, so again, when you look at these statistics, though, have a look at the statistics of dental decay. Every single country, fluoridated, unfluoridated, doesn't matter. The fluoride's dental decay rates are going down and down and down and down and continue. Will continue to keep going down as diets improve, because previously there wasn't supermarkets, we didn't have refrigerators, there weren't a whole bunch of the modern conveniences that we have nowadays. An interesting joke. You know why they call it a toothbrush? It was invented in Kentucky, all right? Because otherwise, it would have been called a teeth brush. I love that joke. Anyway. Where was I? I was talking about the dental decay rates. Okay, so they're going down in everywhere. You know, we're brushing our teeth. We've got toothpaste and things like that. And they go, oh, what about fluoridated toothpaste? Well, you can have fluoridated toothpaste if you want, because they use pharmaceutical grade fluoride for that, unlike what they dump into the water supply, which is not pharmaceutical grade. So it means that whatever other contaminants were within the smoke were in the smoke chimneys that the wet scrubbers were capturing, any other chemicals, compounds, whether that be cadmium, arsenic, lead, uranium, whatever, it's in there, and now it's in your water supply and it's in your body. Now, people don't know how you could be drinking toxic waste all this time and not get sick. Well, I got news for you. You are sick. Okay? Do you not believe what I'm telling you? That's because your brain is being eaten away by the fluoride and you can't think properly. All right? It's making you a very depressed little man. And it's giving you this wonderful thing called bone cancer. Well, it's not bone cancer specifically. It's mostly just because the body instantly recognizes it as a toxin. Okay? So there's two things that it does. Number one, it sends it directly to the kidney. The kidney processes it and you piss most of it out. But it can't deal with all of it at once. So a toxic dose of fluoride, something that would like break the law if you made somebody drink it, is 6 glasses of water a day. All right? So if you drink 6 glasses of water a day, you're getting a toxic dose. So the rest of the fluoride that you can't excrete right away through your kidneys goes into the bones. All right? Now, you get from that massive outbreaks of brittle bone syndrome, hip fractures, arthritis and things like that. What does arthritis mean in Latin? It means joint pain. These people are just speaking to you in a dead language so that you won't know what the hell they're talking about and think that there's some kind of specialist who knows what they're on about. All right? But they don't. All right? So dentists and doctors, they're often trained at institutions that are financed by Colgate, McLean's, all of these fluoride-associated lobbies and things like that. So they only get one half of the story, and the government only tells the people half of the story as well. So what we're up against is enormous propaganda war down here, and everywhere, really, that is fluoridated, we've got this war going on. It's a silent war against the majority of people. Now, if it is illegal to force medicate somebody, surely somebody would have taken it to court. Well, in New Zealand, we did. And they proved that fluoride is being used as a medicine, and they proved that it's being forced onto us through our water supply. And so, naturally, the New Zealand justice system, which has 160 judges, and 120 of them are related by first cousin at least, very uncorrupt, you know. It's not an old boys' network. No. They just
never
said,
no connection, never.
Yeah. So they just say, okay, so it's we're using it for a medicine, and we're forcing it on you, but it's not forced medication. Okay, ruling over. And they go, but Minister, Health Minister Jonathan Coleman, yeah? Can you, by chance, change the Medicines Act to make sure that fluoride's not included under the Medicines Act as a classified medicine? Yeah, sure, I'll just change that. So that way nobody could ever sue us, and it couldn't technically be legally forced medication, which is illegal under the Geneva War Crimes Conventions. So,
yep,
and here's the kicker.
Statute 7 and 9 and 11.
And the last point on
and
this.
And the Nuremberg Trials.
Yeah.
It's a direct contradiction. And our Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Now, I only want one more point. One more point on this, and this is the real kicker behind this legislation. If the local city council decides that it doesn't want to commit a war crime by dumping toxic waste into your effing water supply, they will be fined by the district health boards $200,000 up front and $10,000 a day until they decide to put the fluoride in.
Wow. That sounds like Nazi Germany, doesn't it?
Well,
unbelievable. Well, you know, hey, Vinny, even now in the United States of America, the FDA officially classifies fluoride as a medicine when it's added to your water to fight the disease of tooth decay. That's black and white in their doctrine right now. So, I mean, anybody in the United States of America right now has a very, very strong legal foot to challenge any community that's fluoridating. In British Columbia, there's only three communities left now that are fluoridating in the province. Unfortunately, there's one of them is the one I'm living in. You know, one of the shocking things that we did a study on, I took it up to the university here, and we calculated how many gallons of water a person sits in when they're having a bath, Vinny. And if this water is fluoridated, how much of that fluoride is going through your skin and it being absorbed into your body? Well, we know that your skin is one of the biggest organisms in your body, and anything that hits your skin is going to end up in your blood. Well, I took it up to the University of Northern British Columbia here, and I talked to one of the guys up there, and he did a quick calculation on a computer, and it came out to be about 600 times. If you sit in a bathtub for half an hour of fluoridated water, you're absorbing about 600 times the so-called allowable limit of fluoride in your body every day. We did this, and I'm going like, holy smokes, man. Like, people are sitting in bathtubs all the time full of fluoridated water. Well, we also got chlorine in our water here, Vinny. Isn't that great? That keeps the rust out of our pipes. So you never have to worry about rust forming in your blood vessels here in Terra. Can you believe this? They put chlorine, a class 1 carcinogenic, in our water to stop the rusting in the pipes. So we got chlorine and we got fluoride. I mean, I just stay away from city water totally. People that live here tell me it's the worst water in the world, yet we're surrounded by the best water in the world. Unbelievable.
Yeah. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves in the course of time a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it.
Exactly.
It's a quote that's from Frederick Bastiat. And I get this this feeling like I'm alone, like, oh, nobody gets it or whatever, nobody cares. Now, the side effects of fluoride on the mind and the brain are quite interesting, and particularly what's of great interest is how they hide these statistical anomalies and cover them up. And you go, okay, well, let's see, what's its effect on the IQ? Oh, it's less than one standard deviation. Okay. How did you report that? Oh, less than one IQ point. But that's not what a standard deviation is. A standard deviation is 7 IQ points, bro. So you're saying that the average person who drinks fluoride will be 7 IQ points lower after they've finished drinking it than they were when they started drinking it. Yep. And you think that's not statistically significant? That's right. And you're going to tell and you're going to continue to tell people after this report comes out that it's safe, effective, and cost effective? They're lying. Okay. I was on a radio show, I think a couple of years ago, with a New Zealand talk radio show host, right? I called into his show. And he says, Vinny, isn't it just simple? You just have somebody sitting there just going, nope, he's lying, he's lying, he's lying. Isn't it that simple? And it really is. Once you start to figure out that these people are lying through their teeth every single time, that's when it clicks to you. Oh, I can't trust anything that they say because they're liars.
Well, if people aren't aware of the fact that the mainstream media lies by now, they ain't been paying attention, Vinny, because there is nothing truthful coming out of mainstream. There's nothing truthful coming out of government institutions. The mayor in Prince Rupert or in Terrace here is, of course, a member of the Council of Mayors in British Columbia, and they're mandated by the government in the direction they go on health issues. So we have a real, real battle going on here in Terrace. I've been fighting them for 3 years to get this out of our water. Now we have another movement started and a whole bunch of other people getting behind it and a couple doctors. So hopefully this will go forward in the next year or so and we'll get this stuff out of our water. But just the fact that it's being put into our water, like I said earlier, Vinny, it only takes really 2 hours on the internet to have a, you know, with an open mind, really have a look at the issue of fluoride and what the chemical composition of it is. It's a byproduct of industrial waste. At one time, chemical companies had to pay $1,000 a ton to dispose of it. Like I said, along came a panel of doctors, said it was great for your body, great for your teeth, it's going to stop dental decay, and now we got fluoride. 42% of the children in the United States now suffer from dental fluorosis, Vinny. And the U.S. government just cut their allowable limits of fluoride in half. Well, I mean, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that they're admitting that this is the problem, and they solve it by cutting the levels in half. Oh my God!
Well, conveniently,
you know, what it does to your teeth alone, Vinny. Really, I mean, one more point, and really, people just have to look at what fluoride fluorosis is. Fluoride fluorosis is calcium being removed from your teeth. Hence, we get the white spots. Your teeth become brittle, and they are susceptible to breaking and all kinds of other issues. Well, if we're ingesting this stuff, one only has to use common sense to ask themselves, what is it doing to the rest of the bones in your body as it goes through your GI tract, into your pineal glands, and all through your body? And it doesn't flush out. It accumulates in your body. 50% apparently is the reports I read, actually accumulate in your body. Go ahead, Vinny.
Mm. Well, you reminded me of something that I've been thinking about, because it's an election year in New Zealand this year, and our elections only last maybe like 3-4 months or something like that. It's not like the American elections where you like campaign for a freaking decade and you just like make everybody want to eat a shotgun shell at the end of it, you know, or even halfway through it, or even at the freaking beginning. Really? We're going to go through this again? Oh, that's better. Right, but you use these two words. Common sense. You use this word common sense. And I thought about, you know, what about the Common Sense Party, right? Because this dude in the UK came up with this, the No Party, right? No party can save the world. No party can solve your problems. No party, just brilliant. But unfortunately, they've rigged the system in politics so that they can decide whether or not your party is allowed, right, by the name. All right, so it's a vote, and you're not allowed to do a vote of no confidence. That's illegal. You're not allowed to not have confidence in the system in New Zealand. And if you mark your voting form or anything like that, you can have legal ramifications. You know, it's really weird. So, on top of that, if you want to start to say the Common Sense Party, let's run through a couple policies. Fraud will be illegal. You know, surprise, fraud's not currently illegal, you know, it's against the law, but you don't get prosecuted on it, so that when the bank gives you money that they make up out of thin air, that's fraud, and they will be prosecuted for that in the future. And also, we're not allowed to dump toxic waste into the human drinking water supply. All right, again, pretty common sense. Not allowed to put toxic waste in the human water supply. Pretty straightforward. So that's the fluoride out, that's the chlorine out, and that will need to be replaced, on the other hand, with very, very low doses of vitamin C, and clean the water with ozone. All right. So that way you get ozonated water, which is very, very high in oxygen, which kills all bacteria and disease, and also with slight trace amounts of vitamin C in it, which is incredibly cheap, absolutely inexpensive, and is the world's number one known viricide. If you put a virus in a test tube and put vitamin C in with it, the virus is wiped out every time. Yeah, you can cure a case of dengue fever with $10 worth of vitamin C. All right. Easy peasy. So that way you've got your entire population really, really good at fighting disease on a biological level. Now, doesn't that sound like common sense? You'd want all of your people to be healthy and intelligent and fight and be able to survive diseases and so on and so forth without any major medical intervention. And considering you can die from drinking too much water, but so far, there has been no person in the world who has ever died from taking vitamin C. And in some cases, people have taken pounds of vitamin C into their bloodstream directly injected with no side effects whatsoever. Okay, so there you go. There's your common sense, party. Make fraud illegal and stop putting toxic waste in the frickin' water.
And mass cultivation of industrial hemp.
Yeah. That'd be good too. Yeah.
Common sense. Wouldn't it be cool if we actually had some common sense in the world, Vinny? Because nothing I see going on inside of governments, nothing going on inside of our health industry or our vaccines or what they're doing in our sky or what they're doing in our water, none of it makes any common sense.
That's because
completely counterproductive to the human body. And we know why. That the rabbit hole is deep on that subject, and we know there's a reason for it. But boy, common sense, that would be something I'd vote for, my friend, yeah, in a heartbeat.
Wouldn't that be a real turnaround? You know, surprisingly, the people of New Zealand voted for common sense. Like, I just didn't see that coming.
How do we get the rest of, you know, fluoride and all these drugs is having a really good effect on people because people just can't seem to grasp the concept of common sense anymore. Vinny, they can't. I mean, really, I look at this world and I go, none of this makes any sense, and everything that makes sense would solve the problems that we got, but nobody is talking about it. Yeah. It drives me absolutely insane. So, you know, the lowering of our IQ, we know they've dumbed down society, and they're doing it through the fluoride. Fluoride facilitates the movements of heavy metals into the brain. It actually opens up a pathway for heavy metals to enter your brain. A lot of people don't realize that. There's a lot of reasons they're using that in combinations with other chemicals that they're subjecting our bodies to, the amount of aluminum that's being sprayed into our atmosphere through nanoparticles. I mean, this is insanity. You know what, Vinny, this year in Terrace, everybody here is blaming this flu and this cough that's going around, and it's everywhere in town. Everybody's having respiratory problems. I've never seen anything like this, including myself. And, you know, the amount of spraying they've been doing over here lately, people are going, hey, this has got to do with chemtrails. Well, people are starting to pay attention, Vinny. And that's a subject that absolutely drives me insane when I see what they're doing in our atmosphere. Just one of the other aspects of attack on us, man.
Well, speaking of which,
everything should be attacked on our humanity.
You mentioned a good fluoride documentary, and I want to mention another one that's by the makers of Why in the World Are They Spraying and What in the World Are They Spraying. It's called The Great Culling. The Great Culling, Our Water.
Seen it.
The best. Mm-hmm. Like, for somebody who'd been studying fluoride for like 5 years at that point, that documentary made me feel like I knew nothing. Mm. All right, it was brilliant, just absolutely in-depth. And really coming from that human's perspective, my favorite part of it was the worker from the fluoride slurry pits that they interviewed. And he talked about how, what was it? He was from a southern state, and he said, well, firstly, we tried to dump it down the river, and it killed everything. So we dumped it down the river.
Drink it.
So we dumped it down the river in smaller amounts so that it wouldn't kill everything immediately.
sounds like a slow kill scenario to me, buddy. Well, what do we see going on in our world there, Vinny? Slow kill them. They won't see it coming.
Yep. If you're
Vinny, Canada, the United States right now, some of the things that I've studied here, and Roger Landry actually is the one that first said this to me, and I had to look it up for myself, and I studied it for about 3 or 4 hours. I looked at all the stats, and he's, you know, Canada, the United States now, we're the sickest nations in the world. We lead the world in a lot of disorders, dementia and Alzheimer's and all these other disorders. We're leading the world, and yet we spend 10 times as much as the next closest country in the world on health care. So, I mean, does any of that make sense to anybody that's listening to this? I mean, if we're spending 10 times as much and we're the sixth people in the world, what's going on inside our health system, really? And people are starting to pay attention to that, Vinny. I mean, that movie Vax is one that I share around quite a bit. And it's
I haven't even watched that yet.
Vinny, you've got to watch it.
Well, I know. I've downloaded it. It's on my list. And I'm also going to bring the makers of the film on, and I'm going to be helping out with their campaign to spread the film when they're doing their showings here in New Zealand. Yep. I'm doing everything within my limited sphere of influence that I can, because although I'm the largest alternative media entity that tells the truth in New Zealand via YouTube and web stats and years doing it and social media following and so on and so forth, there's nobody else that comes close to covering the truth on so many different issues like I do, and I'm still a flea on an elephant's bum, all right, by comparison to the size of larger American entities that are pushing the truth out there and stuff like that, because I'm in frickin' New Zealand. I'm confined here. I'm trapped here, you know. I mean, if you want to have an exercise in what it's like being broke and not being able to travel, just become an activist, you know? You'll never have any money to travel. And it's just that simple. And I think that society's structured that way specifically so that we cannot and do not have the freedoms to make a difference if we're trying to do the right thing, right? If you want to make a difference and you want to make it really evil and really horrible, mate, there will be more than enough help out there for you. You know, here's a table right here for you, sir. You know, it's just
$50 million. Yeah, tell us when you need some more money.
So you made this.
And keep making those movies.
Now everybody says this thing. Things don't make any sense. They do make sense to me, but I had to study a couple of things before it actually started to make sense. Okay, so number one is narcissism. If you grow up without your dad or your mum or without unconditional love or whatever, your neural pathways fuse shut and you're incapable of normal human activity ever again in your life. All right, so that means instead of having a residual self-image where if somebody insults you, you go, it's just not true. And you keep walking along, you're confident and you're happy with that. Narcissists can't do that. Every single insult they receive cuts right to the bone, and they get this thing called narcissistic rage. All of a sudden, right at you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, as soon as I say that, everybody just recognizes, whoa, I know that. I know that thing. You know, there's this person who thinks he knows everything in my life, who reckons he's so awesome or whatever, but the second I criticize him or insult him or something like that, he just falls to pieces. All right. And this is a big, big disorder that's everywhere. Now, it's on a spectrum. So you've got benign narcissists like me down on one end who want to do evil things to people but just don't because they know that it's wrong and they learned over their time to have a conscience and still retain creativity. And on the very other end of the narcissistic spectrum, where you've got like up to 9 different character traits, that's when you start to border and become psychopathic tendencies. Now, psychopathic tendencies are really interesting because if you look at the manipulation techniques that they use to control people, you know, like I'm right, you're wrong, and I have divine power and I'm the one truth, you know, cult leaders and things like that, you start to realize that these people have actually started to get their hands on the power of nearly every single major global institution that matters. All right? And they're the ones who make those little lessons of you don't do this, you don't do that, you do this, down to all of the underlings underneath. Now, what that does to people who aren't narcissistic or psychopathic is they get traumatized by it. Now, what's interesting about trauma, especially if you go through trauma for a long period of time, like longer than a month or three, you get what's known as complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which essentially has many of the same characteristics as narcissism. Okay, so you have a look at those cult indoctrination techniques, mind control techniques, and you're like, oh my God, that's used in school, that's used in government, that's used in the media, that's used in law, that's used in medicine. Every single major institution of note and of influence in this world is a mind control institution that is psychopathic in nature. Okay, that is the realization. Once you know that realization, suddenly everything makes a hell of a lot of sense. Why doesn't anything make any sense? Because you're not a psychopath, bro. You're not looking at it right.
Yeah, you got to think like a psychopath.
Oh, it's so clear.
You know, Vinny, if you'd have said that to me 10 years ago in my life, I'd have told you you were nuts. But you know what? What you just said is absolutely spot on. That mind control is... I'm not an expert by any sense of the imagination. I've looked at it a little bit. I really have a hard time understanding it all. But to say that it isn't being used in our society, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand.
It's pretty straightforward.
You see it everywhere. Through subliminal. Mostly through subliminals.
No. It's actually mostly overt, but you just don't know what they are. So, for example, if I were to talk reasonably slowly at roughly the same pace as the human heartbeat, that's a mind control technique. If I were to have fluorescent lighting that is not too bright and not too dark so that you feel kind of sleepy while I'm talking, that's a mind control technique. If you're in a big group with one person telling you what the truth is and you're not allowed to question them or else you get punished or thrown out of the group, that's a mind control technique. If you express something different from the group and the group starts to attack you and tell you that you should shut up, that's a mind control technique. These are cult indoctrination techniques. And what springs to mind instantly when I rattle off just those very few little cult indoctrination techniques? School, doesn't it? Instantly. And the same thing is true of most officers. Most officers have fluorescent lights as well. And that's the whole thing. Once you know those simple, basic cult indoctrination mind control techniques, you start to see them everywhere. The other is more interesting because, especially in regards to the truth movement, I am right. You are wrong. I am connected to God. I have divine authority. You can't tell me what I'm doing is wrong because I'm infallible. You cannot question me. This is a fact. That is 100%. You're not allowed to question that. Again, cult indoctrination techniques. And these are in your textbooks. This is in your universities. This is in your workplace. Okay? Mind control's everywhere. And that's because psychopaths are everywhere. Psychopaths are attracted to three things. Power and control and money. Well, power and control are the same thing. Money and sex. Power, money, sex. Power, money, sex. Power, money, sex. Where's all the power? Where's all the money? Where's all the sex? All right, if you've got enough power, you can have enough sex, can't you? All right, so they just go mostly after the money and power, because once you've got enough money, you've got power, don't you? All right, so who are the wealthiest billionaires and trillionaires and so on and so forth in the world? Frickin' psychopaths, most of them. We've only got 1% of the population that subscribes to psychopathy. Now, it's not known whether or not there are born psychopaths or whether or not it's all brought about by childhood abuse. You'll notice that nearly every single narcissist and every single psychopath has some kind of childhood abuse. And that would suggest to me why there's a connection between psychopathy, narcissism, mind control techniques, cult indoctrination, post-traumatic stress disorder, and back to the narcissism again. All right, it's a revolving circle of the abused and the abuser. Now, if you start to think to yourself, the world's run by crazy people, does it suddenly make a hell of a lot more sense why the world seems so crazy?
Would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
That's because it is. Common sense.
It's a subject, you know, that I have to look into more, Vinny, because it really fascinates me. I've looked into MK Ultra quite a bit, and we see it everywhere, like you said, in our society, and some of these things that you're talking about. I was aware of a bit of it, but really when you start to recognize it, like you said, you'll see it everywhere. And that's so true.
Right. So that's the biggest realization of all, that you and me are currently under a form of mind control. And we were never even aware of it until now. And that's why I've come up with this great couplet. How do you know if you're under mind control? If you don't think you are.
What's your opinion, Vinny, real quick, on Morgellons disease? Have you looked into that much?
Yeah, a little bit. All right,
I was just talking to a lady that got scanned, and this was a legitimate scan by a stud finder, and they found implants in her body that she wasn't aware of. This was done down in Nanaimo, B.C. So what's your thoughts on that subject?
This is the real fringe stuff. So I can't be 100% about what I'm about to tell you, but this is just what I think. I think that within the aluminium, barium, and strontium-laced chemtrails, there are also nanoparticulates that are indeed nanobots, self-replicating nanobots that are capable of being inhaled or ingested through anybody within the target area of spray. So if you've got one nanobot that you breathe in, it can start to multiply and replicate within your body. Now, just like with fluoride, some people are highly sensitive to it, and some people can, you know, drink fluoride their entire life and not have too many problems. The same is true of Morgellons reactions. So I think what's going on is because these nanofibers are capable of sending and receiving radio signals, they're capable of self-replicating. The first thing that jumped into my head was Android. So if you've got a substance that can replicate itself along the nervous system and start to replicate certain organs and things like that, and if they can send and receive signals, then after a while your entire body may have actually been interdispersed and maybe even replaced by these nanoparticulates, so that you yourself are no longer you. Much like the nanites in a movie called Gamer replace real brain cells within the gamers, and so that you can use those to control people and program them and things of that nature. So one day, this is my big fear, and again, this is all speculatory, one day somebody can just flip a switch and for some reason or another, people are just whoomph and walking around Zombo.
Yep. I've actually read an article exactly what you just talked about, Vinny. And, you know, the technology these government agencies have, well, we really don't know what they possess because they only allow us to know so much. I believe their technology is, you know, 30, 40, maybe 50 years ahead of what we're actually allowed to know. So the thought that they can make nano-sized particles that size and they can make them to replicate these cells, that's all within the realm of possibilities. That this lady, I mean, she took a stud finder to her body, and I'm going to be talking to her. Her name's Debbie, but they actually found metal, slivers of metal about a quarter of an inch long in her skin, underneath her skin. And she never had those put in her body. But a stud finder, it was big enough for a stud finder to detect them. And she's like, I mean, that's pretty scary stuff when they can do that kind of stuff and we're not aware of it. And, you know, frequencies, it's something else I look into quite a bit, is how frequencies can affect our body and how changing frequencies can have an incredible effect on our body. Who's to say that one day they can't send out a frequency that affects all these nano-sized particles and we all just drop dead or we turn into zombies? And that's, you know, something, it sounds science fiction, but I think it's within the realm of possibilities.
A robotic slave workforce, all right? One that cannot think for itself, one that literally responds to commands via scalar wave.
Right.
Now, if I was a psychopathic control freak who only desired money and power and sex, being able to control everybody to the point where I've got practically a remote for the whole global population sounds like the ideal.
Perfect, man.
You know, what could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Bunch of zombies walking around, can't think for themselves, and
so Morgellons.
Exactly.
So Morgellons is essentially a body reaction. Certain people are highly sensitive to these nanoparticles, and their DNA or whatever, for some reason, rejects the nanoparticulate growth patterns. They go out of shape. They change the code somehow, and the things, instead of burrowing into your nervous system and wrapping around your bones and replacing your nerve endings and all of those kind of things, they actually start to become a hybridized system that starts to come out of the body, out of the skin. You know, like there's this one guy in New Zealand who kept messaging me and showing me pictures of his wounds and all these long fibers that were coming out of his skin, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a horrible thing, and it's very scary when you can go to a doctor. I think, who was I talking to? Somebody in Australia, and he says, a friend of mine went to go see this doctor with Morgellons. Sorry, he was talking to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh yeah, I've got a patient with Morgellons, but it doesn't exist. All right, that's when you're dealing with mind control there, okay? Especially the more highly educated you are, the higher the likelihood is that you're going to be under mind control and won't be able to see things that are right in front of you. When Columbus arrived in the Bahamas, the people could not see his ships because such a thing, such an image of a large wooden vessel with giant sails and everything like that, they had never seen before. And they'd never seen anything even remotely like it before. And they couldn't, literally, couldn't see it. It was right there in front of them, and they could not see it. It was only the shaman of the tribe that was able to see it. And once the shaman explained to everybody what he was seeing, then the tribes managed to see these men rowing their boats ashore. But they weren't able to see it until they had it explained to them. And I think that's a very interesting story that explains how people can see things right in front of their face and not see them at all.
Incredible. You know, we're getting down. You said you wanted to duck out about 10 minutes before the hour is up there, Vinny. So I'll keep you for a few more minutes. Want to thank you for joining. But I'm going to put one more question to you here tonight. Are you up on, or do you have an opinion on weather patterns right now on the planet and what's causing chaos in weather quickly before the hour's up? I was going to put that to you just before the show's over.
Okay. Well,
in 2 minutes, Vinny.
Okay. Let me just sum up weather warfare, in 2 minutes, shall I? You know, no biggie. Okay, so the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, otherwise known as HAARP, has a number of facilities all around the world, including one that's not 15 minutes drive from Christchurch. When you send up 1,000,000 watts of microwave energy, you're able to move cloud patterns. You're also able to change the direction that they're going. And you can also do this with chemtrails. If you spray out chemtrails with their high brightness nanoparticulates, that's why they appear white. That's why they're using the aluminium and the strontium and barium and all of that kind of stuff, because it glows white. Now, that means that it reflects heat. Now, when you're reflecting heat, what you do is you create an artificial pressure system along the particular line of that chemtrail so that you could put it in front of a weather system and drive it away, or you could put it behind the weather system and enhance it or direct it.
Right.
Now, right. If you knew and if you had the ability to control the weather, and you know that crops are dependent 100% on that weather being good, and you could screw it up if you wanted to, that means you could make bets on the stock market against food production and make yourself a hell of a lot of money. All right? It's insider trading, bro. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different elements to that. So you've got military intelligence with the weather warfare. Indeed, this was even part of a bill that was put into the United States not too long ago by Dennis Kucinich, where he expressly state that they don't want weather control warfare being used in the continental US or anywhere for that matter. The United States and Russia have even signed a weather warfare treaty banning these weapons. So now what we're dealing with here is covert weather warfare. And that's why it's so hard to expose. That's why it's so hard to get real information about it, because it's frickin' classified.
Exactly. Well, fascinating conversation, Vinny, with you. And I know you have to step out, so I want to thank you again for joining me and look forward to having a conversation with you again in the near future. And quickly before you go, if you want to plug your show and plug your sites again real quick, I'll let you do that, and then I'll say thank you again.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And it's at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and also Vinny Eastwood on YouTube. And I'd love it if you would subscribe to the YouTube channel. I would love it if you go to my homepage at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, give it a like, give it a share on Facebook, tweet it out, and that kind of thing. And if you would be so kind, I am a very, very hardworking activist person who is badly traumatized from my work history, so I cannot go and get a job in the traditional sense because it hurts me in my body places and I have panic attacks and things like that. But I can expose scumbaggery full-time in a way that nobody else in history from New Zealand ever has. If you like that idea, if you like the fact that I'm giving activists and people who don't have their own platforms mine to share so that they can get their word out there, it makes them feel a lot better, and it encourages them to continue their activism. And I want you to do that for me by just giving me $1 a month through either the Patreon, the PayPal, or if you're in New Zealand, through that Kiwi Bank. Even $1 a month. Every little bit really, really does count, and it really does help me.